My turn. Every pastor, when they start out in the ministry, and I'm going to tell you some secrets about us. I can do it. Where do we get our information? It's basically from books. And I'm not discrediting that at all. I use the books all the time. You have to know the definition of words. You've got to know the context of what is spoken. You have to know all that. And that's the way preachers start out. I was one of them. And I did that for many years. And then, somehow, the Lord came upon me. And I started to look at people like you. And I found out something that was so unique about people. In fact, it's so unique. I'm going to use the word of the Lord, too. One of the beautiful chapters in the book of the Bible, which Martin Luther did not like the book Hebrews, but I do. We'll discuss that later on. But when you look in the book of Hebrew, you're going to see something that's unique. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, and it goes on and on to other people. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. And guess what? That faith is so important to the gospel. Faith. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If we could replace the word faith, what would we replace it with? And I'll tell you what you're going to say. Belief. You got that in the creeds. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to change that for a little bit today. I'm going to change that word, faith, to the word of relationship. Are you still with me? I don't see anybody sleeping. That's good. I would tell my congregation, hey, Rosie is sleeping over there. Don't do what she's doing. So I look at my congregation, and I'm going to give you names. And these are legitimate people. My wife will support me on this here. There was a woman in my parish called Dorothy Forkel. And I loved her dearly. Her kids didn't like me, but I loved her and she loved me. And the only reason we loved each other, I think, was that our birthdays were on the same day. Not the same month, this year. She's a little bit older than me. But I loved Dorothy. She had not a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out. She was one of my poorest members of my congregation. But she had something that I admired and I still admire today. And I'm going to share it with you. She had a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you how powerful that was. I'm going to tell you about Dorothy and her mom. Her 10-year-old son was killed right in front of her house. This was before I was in her life. And they took that dead body and put it on her couch in her living room for 6 hours because the coroner could not find her house. That woman never cursed the Lord, never stopped going to church. Never, ever did it stop her from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her son Bob got married in August of 1968. Went off to Vietnam and was killed. Came back in a casket in January of 1969. And again, Dorothy, she kept that faith. She kept going to church. She kept reading her Bible. She kept doing it. She had faith. And I came into her life about that time. And we had a great relationship. When she told me that she had two sons that had killed and still believed in the Lord. Do you understand that, my friends? That still believe in the Lord. No anger. No animosities. No. She believed in the Lord. And then one day, I'm going to tell you, I was angry. It was Christmas Day. Do you know what every pastor does on Christmas Day? Sleep. because we had two giant services on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is my day for myself. I'm going to sleep, and I love sleeping. The phone rang. Dorothy was crying. What's wrong, Dorothy? Here her son Dale died on Christmas Day in her bathroom. Three sons in the grave, and it never, ever shook her faith. I'm here to tell you that. Even on her deathbed, my wife will understand this here, she was in hospice. She was the president of the women's organization. And guess what she did on her deathbed? Had a Bible study. The women were around her bed. Am I telling the truth, Grandma? Yes, you know that. She could not wait to tell me, Pastor, I'm on my deathbed, but guess what? I led a Bible study. Now, I want to give you a little bit of side by. It has nothing to do with the sermon at all. But I'm just telling you who I am. That woman loved me. She had seven children. And in her living room, she had all her children in a circle on that beautiful green wall. And guess whose picture was in the center of it? Now, I want to tell you something. This is terrible for me to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. When she died, the kids went in and probably took that damn picture off the wall and threw it away. That's my feeling. Okay. But my point is this. Here was a woman who had three kids in the grave. I had one woman come to me. She said, you know, in the sermon sometimes you always refer to Dorothy. We think you favor her. You know what I told that woman? You put three of your sons in the grave and I'll favor you. Guess what? She quit the church. People don't like to hear. Okay, let's go on to number two. I still got a lot of time. Okay. I have a young couple in my parish. I love them dearly. John and Kim Christensen. I officiated at their wedding. We had a great time. We just were like this here. We're just like them. So then year 2009 comes. Guess what? I get to retire. And I retired. We moved down here to Florida. I'm living the good life. And then John's father, who was Dr. Steve Christensen, a very good friend of mine, calls me. And he's crying on the phone. And he tells me, Rev, I got to tell my son that his son is not going to live. He was born without a pancreas. He had to die. And he did. A couple days later, Chris, Dr. Steve's wife, called me, crying on the phone, and says, Pastor, I know you're retired. I know you're in Florida. But I know John and Kim would just love to see you. Will you come up? We'll pay for everything. We drove up. And you know what I had to tell them? I want to tell you what I had to tell them. I don't know if you guys know this here, but Satan works the dirt of life, and it's called death. Do you understand that? He uses death to take the faith that you have in your heart away. And I went to John and Kim, and I said, listen, statistics reveal this truth. When there's a death of a child, there's also the death of the marriage. My son died because of you. No, my son died because of you, and they can't get through it. And I hugged him, and I said, John and Kim, don't let that happen. Then they said, no, Pastor, it'll never happen. We love each other. I said, I'm going to tell you that. Don't let Jackson's death destroy your marriage. And I want to tell you the faith of this woman, Kim. She came from a Roman Catholic church, and she hated church. She hated going there. Her parents made her go. But she came to St. Paul's, Mary John, and she says, you mean I get to read the Bible? I get to pray? God loves me even when I'm terribly wrong? Yep. And if you need an example, look at me. And she buried her son, and before he had died, she had taken on the role of being the chairperson of the nativity pageant of the Sunday school. And all the teachers says, Kim, you don't have to take it. We'll teach it. I'm in charge of here. I'm going to do it. She buried her son and took those other kids through that pageant. And she said, I had to do it because I know my son would want me to do it. Oh, I'm doing great. Another example. There was this couple in my congregation, Ken and Mary Lou Wittenrich. They grew up as child sweethearts and got married. And they had two girls, Melissa and Darlene. And when the girls were about 8 and 6 years old, Kenny got what they called winter poison ivy. Winter poison ivy. He and his father would go out, and they lived next door to each other, and they always wanted to see who had the cheapest gas bill for the months. And the more they took the wood in and heated the house, that's what they did. But Kenny got winter poison ivy. And it just irritated his body. And he went to the doctor and he says, "Doc, I can't live this way." And the doctor says, "I have medicine for you, but it has a history of changing your personality." He says, "I don't care. I can't go on this way. I got it." He said, "It's going to change your personality." And guess what it did? It changed his personality. He had an affair with another woman. Conceived two sons. Left this beautiful girl, Mary Lou Wittenrich. And I want to tell you about Mary Lou Wittenrich. She came in this door right now. I'd go and give her a hug and tell you, this is one of the saints of the church. Because Kenny wanted me to perform his marriage to this new wedding, his new bride, Betty. And I'm in my office, and I said, "Over my dead body, I'm not going to do that." And I said, "If he comes through that door, the answer is no." Guess what? I got a phone call from Mary Lou. She said, "Pastor, I want to talk to you about something." "What?" "I love you, Mary Lou." "Yeah, I know you do. If Kenny asked you to marry him and Betty, I want you to do it." "What?" "Pastor, you've taught me that you forgive and you forget and you go on with life and living. I hate it when lay people are preachers." I said, "Okay." Put down the phone. 2.5 hours later, guess what? The doorbell rings. Kenny's there and he's laughing. He said, "I bet you won't want to do what I want to ask you." I said, "I bet you want to marry Betty." "Yep." "Will you do it, pal?" "Of course I will. I know you. You're a sinner. And you do good at it." And he shook my hand. He said, "Pastor, do it." So they got married. Talking about Mary Lou, though. One day, Kenny's mother was in the hospital, Norma Wittenrich. And Bud, her husband, was there too. Kenny was there too. I was there too. And in walked Mary Lou. And we're all in the bedroom having time. And I look at my watch, time for me to go. And I said, "Let's have a little prayer." We all hung hands. And she had the hand of her ex-husband in her hand. I had Norma's. I had Mary Lou. Mary Lou had mine. And Kenny. And Kenny had his dad. And his dad had the other side of the bed. And we're all around there. Had a little prayer. Don't know what I said, but it must have been good because we're all here today. But anyway, Kenny says, "Mom, I got to go home. My back hurts." He's always had back problems. Norma says, "Well, but your dad's not leaving. How are you going to get home?" He turns to Mary Lou and says, "Mary Lou will take me home." She laughed, and guess what? She took him home. I'm talking about Mary Lou. Listen. I'm talking about this woman, Mary Lou. When they got to Kenny's home, his back was so bad, she had to go in the house and get his present wife, Betty. And they both came out and carried him into his home. I'm talking about a woman who believed in Jesus Christ and made it work. Do you understand the power of Christ in our life? Do you understand that? It's powerful. This Jesus Christ is not comic book. This Jesus Christ is not fiction. This Jesus Christ is for real. And what he can do with a human being is a miracle amongst all of us. And we got to understand that, my beloved. We just got to understand it. We are the body. Did you hear what the Apostle Paul said? We're the body of Jesus Christ. We're not better than anybody else, but we are better off 100 times. So she takes him into the house. I want to tell you about Mary Lou. Kenny had 2 sons with that other woman. Mary Lou was going down, come down to Florida to visit me. And guess who she brought along? Her 2 daughters and her husband's 2 sons. And they were in my house. And I took her aside and I said, Mary Lou, you know those are Kenny. Yeah, I know that. But they look at each other as brother and sister. And I'm not going to part that. They love each other. Isn't it incredible when you can see that person of Jesus Christ work in people? It's a miracle. I'm doing pretty good here. I'm going to finish up my sermon the way I finished up all my funerals. I've conducted over 770 funerals in my life. And I'll tell you why. There are preachers out there and a lot of priests that don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord of life and living. My name was in every funeral director's home. If they needed a preacher for somebody, unchurched, I was the guy. At one time, Loomis Offers and Loomis Funeral Home, I had 3 funerals. And they're Catholic. And when I go in there, they say, is it going to be high mass or low mass? You know what low mass is? Bingo, bango, it's done. Not me. I said, sit down in your chair, you're going to hear the gospel. They didn't like that. But they knew I could help them. I had the trump card, they didn't. So this one day, Pacer Funeral Home, and I can't remember what the guy's first name. He was a really nice guy, and he calls me up. And he says, Rev, I got a tough one for you. You got a tough one for me? What is it? A priest won't take the suicide of a young person. Will you? I said, of course I will. Of course I will. Why wouldn't I? He said, well, because of that there. I'll do it. So anyway, I put the phone down. About 1.5 hours later, the priest calls me. The priest calls me. What a great honor. He said, are you a Reverend Frank? Of course I am. He says, I understand you're going to be taking the funeral of so-and-so. I said, yeah, I am. I'm going, yeah, it's going to be Thursday afternoon. You should be there. He said, well, I'm his priest, and I know the whole family. How are you going to preach when you don't know a damn thing about the guy? And I said, okay, brother, we got to get something square here. I said, do you know the definition of a preacher? He said, I think I do. I said, I don't think so. Do you know the definition of a eulogist? He said, yeah. I said, I'm a preacher. You know what a eulogist does? He gets up and he tells how good people are. That's what a eulogist does. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm a preacher. I'm not going to be a eulogist. I'm going to talk about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Can Jesus Christ save a person who's taken their life? I don't think any of us have to judge that. I don't think it's any of your business or mine. Do you own the kingdom? No, you don't. Are you going to be a part? Yes, by invitation. And our Lord has the right and the righteousness and the mercy, which we read in God's word all the time. It's His kingdom. And I've said this for many years. Every one of us has a home, don't we? You get to choose who comes and goes, don't you? Yeah, you do. How about Jesus Christ? Why do we make His decisions for Him? And I went to that family the night before. And I remember, the mother had her heart was just teared up. I can feel that. I can feel that. I've felt that many times before, too, with my members. And I said, I want to tell you something. And you got to open up your ears. Jesus Christ loves us. He's the only God of the historical world who loves humanity. And we do nothing. He just loves us over and over and over again. And His mercy will go through any hole made by sin. And I told him, I said, all I can tell you, if your son was my son, I'd rely on the mercy of Jesus Christ. And I'd be comforted. I told you, I end all my sermons with a question. And this is where I might cross the line, but I don't care. My question to you is this. What is your relationship to Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know that He died on Calvary's cross so the wickedness of our bodies can be removed and we can have a glorified body that will live forever? Do you guys know that? Do you believe it? Do you remember those words that we say in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Can we change them for today? I like to rewrite the scriptures. It's one of my fun things in my life. But why don't we say this? I have a relationship with God the Father. I have a relationship with God the Son. I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you can say that, my friends, you, as well as I am, we're blessed. The peace of the Lord be with you. Still on time, too.